This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
We have the beginning of the parsha discussing about Kohen, the children of Aaron, and the halachas and zehirus, things that they have to be careful, how they're supposed to behave and what they're supposed to do. And even though it is a direct parsha to the Kehanim, the Bali Musa and the Mefarshim take out of this lessons for everyone. And it's true, it's Emor al Kehanim, it's addressed to the Kehanim, true. But as we will explain and discuss and bring out, that it's Kehanim, true, but it's actually broad. It's lessons that can be learned for the broad part of Klal Yisrael as well. And that is, and I believe, the lessons of Chinuch. There's a lot of lessons of Chinuch that can be taken from this parsha on how we're supposed to mechanech our children. And I would like to call it the three basic principles of chinuch for successful chinuch. I think can be learnt in this parsha, can be taken out from the words of the psukim and the Rashi and the Chazal. I'd like to begin by the famous shaila that all the mefarshim ask: why does it say elakihanim bnei Aharon? We know that the kihanim were bnei Aharon. This is already well established and well known, that the Kehanim were children of Aaron. Why was it necessary to emphasize, speak to the Kehanim, Bnei Aharon, the children of Aharon? We know the Kehanim are the children of Aharon. So there's many, many, many different pshatim that are said. Rashi quotes the Chazal, Bnei Aharon v'loi Bnei Saharon. Bnei Aharon, Abali Mumin, that the different halachas. There's a halachic reason for emphasizing Bnei Aharon. And that is the Bnei Veloy Benois, Bnei Aharon, even Bali Mumin. This was the reason why the Torah wrote Bnei Aharon. The Mefarshim and the Bali Musar give many, many other explanations. Some of them are quite classic and known. I'd like to just bring out one of them from the Bnei Yisachar, a beautiful pshat. He says that this child, the Kohen, he grows up to be different. He's being taught that he's different than the regular Yisrael, and that is because he's Kaddish. He's more holy. Is that a good way to bring up a child? The child could begin to think to himself, I'm special. Hey, you know that Yisrael? He doesn't have my halachas. In English, we would say, I'm a special character. And it could get to his head. Says the Bnei Yisachar, that is why we preempt and we tell him, Bnei Aharon, first of all, the reason why you have this Kedusha is because you happen to be the child of Aharon. So it's Aharon who earned the Kedusha. It's Aharon HaKohen who earned the Kedusha. You happen to be in the lineage of Aharon HaKohen. So don't become haughty, don't become a Balgaiva because of it. And he says, even we could say one step further, that just like Aaron wouldn't have been a Balgaiva, just like Aaron didn't hold of himself better and bigger than others, the opposite, he was humble, he loved everyone. So remember that even though we put you on a pedestal, and we give you different halachas, and we make you that you're special and different, don't forget where you come from, Bnei Aharon. So again, says the Bnei Yisachar that there's a hashkafa and a musar reason to preempt and to emphasize that you're Bnei Aharon, the Kehanim are Bnei Aharon, and that is that the child should grow up normal, healthy, to know that even though he is given privileges, don't forget, wherever he goes, he gets the first aliyah, we give him, feed him, we truma. A person could grow up thinking he's better than everyone else. Sakta Teira B'nei Aharon. Your privileges come from the fact that you're B'nei Aharon. And what would your grandfather Aaron already behave? How would he look at all this? He would be humble. So also you should be humble. In Svarim it's always discussed, the Indian of Yichus. That people walk around taking Yichus and misusing Yichus. They take Yichus and they don't properly utilize the Yichus. In place of using the Yichus properly, what they use Yichus for, look who I am. I'm the grandson of so-and-so. And so, therefore, and the truth is, it's not the way you're supposed to deal with Yichus. Yichus should be the opposite. My privileges are not mine. They come because I grew into a certain family. So a person should be humble. It's not who I am. It's only because of who my grandfather is. B'schus avoisai. The Gemara always says, "Kol atoyle b'schus atzmai, toyle b'schus acherim." A person shouldn't say me. But what do you say? B'schus avoisai. That, yes, a person should always say, you know, my privileges come to me because of my past. But then it's nothing to do with me, then I'm humble about it. And also, one should emulate his yichus. Just like the yichus would be humble about it. So you too be humble. So the point is that the Torah here is teaching the child how to deal with his yichus. That he should know that he is privileged for being B'nai Aharon, yet understand that that becomes also a mechayiv. That becomes the reason why you have to maybe do more because you're B'nai Aharon. So on one hand, it's a privilege, yes. But it's not a privilege that you're special and that you should become a balgaiva and that you should hold yourself better and greater than others. This is what I would like to add a little more flavoring, so to speak, to the words of the B'nai Yisachar that says that the reason why it says B'nai Aharon, that we should teach the child to understand his privilege of being a Kayin properly. He shouldn't misuse it or abuse it. And we added this point of Yichus and understanding what Yichus is all about. I also believe that the B'nai Aharon could be used to learn a lesson in Chinuch. Learn a lesson in Chinuch. Besides what the B'nai Yisachar says, to teach a child that we expect him to live up to his yichus and understand that his milus are because of his yichus, I also think that there's a chinuch lesson here, and that is, you know, this child is going to be different than everybody else. His life is going to be cut away for avoida. Where the rest of the world has options of business in front of them, they have options of having a life, so to speak. The Kohen is destined to live in the Beis HaMikdash and do the Avodah. So as a child growing up, he's going to feel that he's deprived. The Kohen, as a kid, looks up and he says, look at all the halachas that they put on me, all the restrictions. Look at the future, that I have to be in the Beis HaMikdash, but I make the Shlo Yetze, even though it's referring to the Kohen Gadol, but the same idea, a Kohen is Shlucha de Yisrael, his life is for the Klal. He's not a private citizen. As a matter of fact, as we soon will learn, the Kotzker Rebbe Zecher Tzadik Levracha is Masber, he explains that that's why the Kohen Gadol doesn't go to funerals. Not even his relatives. A regular Kohen goes to the funeral of his relatives. The Kohen Gadol doesn't even go for his closest relatives. Why not? Because he is being taught, and he has to learn and understand that he is not a private citizen with relatives. He belongs to the Tzibur. All of Klal Yisrael now becomes his relatives. And therefore, he doesn't go to his private, personal Avelus, but he is Mchuyev, to remain, so to speak, anonymous to his family. He's not part, he doesn't have family. Everybody's now his family. He belongs to everyone, the Kohen Gadol. So taking it back to what we're saying, a Kohen grows up in a way that he's almost not a person for his own self. He lives for the Avodah, he lives for Klal Yisrael. He might feel deprived. So how do you bring up a child healthy? And the answer is, you tell him how lucky, how privileged he is that he has this job and he has this lot in life. B'nei Aharon the point is to bring out you're special because you're the child of Aharon. You're supposed to elevate and show the chashivus of the lifestyle that he's going to have. The privilege that he has to be a kohen. And then the child will be able to fill into the shoes of being a kohen. Otherwise, he's going to feel that it's restricted. He's going to feel deprived. We have to bring out that he's important and how special and how gifted he is to be a kohen. You look at Rabbeinu Yoin in the Geres, in his Igres HaTshuva, he writes this, you saw it clearly. That it's important for a person to know my loisav and my losavoisav. In order for a person to be matzliach in avoidah, he has to realize the privilege and the schus that he has, that he was taken and chosen to do this. Ashreinu matoiv chalkeinu, umanoim geirelenu, umayof yerushasleinu. I always say, what's the pshat? There's three things here. Ashreinu matoiv chalkeinu, that's our lot. Mayofu Yerushaseinu, which is what we received in the past, the avos. Or mayofu our inheritance. Mayofu Yerushaseinu. Ashreinu matoiv chalkeinu, manoim gerelenu, mayofu no, I skipped one of them. Ashreinu matoiv chalkeinu, manoim gerelenu. What is gerelenu? Gerelenu means the future. A gairul means when someone wins something, the lot that's going to be allotted to him. Gairul leinu. So we talk about chalkeinu present, gairul leinu in the future, ilam abba, umayav yushaseinu our past. When we realize the merit, the schus, how lucky we are with our past, our present, and our future, then we could be oivdi Hashem. If a child doesn't realize how lucky he is to do Avodas Hashem, he's not going to be able to do it. This is a Rabbeinu Yoina, the Yisoid of Rabbeinu Yoina, that a child, a person, must know my loisav, where he comes from, the schus that he's a Ben Yaakov and a Ben Yisrael, a child of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov. And this is what we teach the Kayin. We teach the Kayin that he should understand he's B'nai Aharon. And I'll tell you where I've seen this lesson clearly expressed in the words of the Chassam Sofer, which was the grandson of the Chassam Sofer, and yet even in the Chassam Sofer himself, based on the Psukim. The Chassam Sofer says an interesting thing. One could ask a question. We know that one of the mechanisms to fight the Yetzer Hara is Yaskir L'Yoyim HaMisa. That he should remember the day of death. It's one of the tools that are needed to fight the Yetzer Hara. As a matter of fact, when a person goes to a Levaya, that is one of the lessons of life. V'chayit n'aliboy. We speak it out clearly that those that live, when they come back from a funeral, Yitna and Liboy, they should take the Musar, They should take lesson that no one lives forever. Hacha yitin aliba. It's brought down in Minhagim. Now when you go to a funeral, you go one way, and when you return from the funeral, you should take a different road. We learned this from Yosef. You know, Yosef HaTzadik says, the Chazal, that when he passed by the pit where he had the miracle, they threw him into a pit and he survived. The brothers threw him in, he survived, it was a miracle. He made a bracha, bar shasli nes b'makim hazeh. The Mefarshim point out, the Medrash clearly states that he didn't say it on the way to the funeral when he went to Canaan. But it says, b'chazarosa, on the way back from the funeral of Yaakov, he made this bracha. And we've spoken about this question in the past. Why does he make the bracha only on the way back and on the way there? Well, maybe on the way there he was an Einan, maybe. An Einan doesn't make brachas, doesn't do mitzvahs. We had big discussions about this in the past. We've even said once that maybe he said it both times, on the way there and on the way back. And what Chazal mean that the brothers saw that he said it twice, which means that he doesn't stop thinking about it. He actually didn't do it only once, but he did it twice. He did do it on the way there as well as the way back, but the Chazal just are trying to say that the brothers were scared when they saw it. Which one did they get scared by? Not the first one, because that he was supposed to make, but that he returned and made it again. That's what they were scared. We've spoken about this in the past. The Paradis Yosef brings from people before him that explain that maybe on the way in they took a different route. And on the way back they passed by where the pit was. And the reason for this, because like we told you, that to a funeral you go one route, and on the return of the funeral you take a different route. The custom was to go one route on the way to the funeral and a different street and a different road the way back. And the reason for that is a lesson that one must change his ways after a funeral. You go to a levaya, it's not the same person and the same halacha chayim. Life has to have a detour now. It's got to be a new road. It's got to change your way. It's not the same thing as before. So we're taking this tool away from the Kayin. He doesn't go to funerals. So ask this San Seifer and others. So then what happens to this tool that they're supposed to fight the Yetzer Hara with? We don't let him go to a funeral. What does he do with the Yaskil Yoyim HaMisa? Says the Chassan Sofer, it's true, we take away this remembrance of death, but we give him something else, and that is, we elevate, and we give him the chashivas of telling Kedoshim to you, that you're holy. We tell him, fight your Yetzer Hara by realizing how special you are, how heilig bistu, you're bist heilig a mensch, you're a holy person. He says that's what it means in the Pasuk. Pasuk says, Kedoshim, it says in the Pasuk, well, he actually brings it by the Kohen Gadol, it says by the Kohen, Al kol nafshus meis liyavoy. He doesn't come in contact at all with Misa. He doesn't discuss Misa. He stays away from the whole idea of Misa. And la'aviv li'ima la'yitama. And he doesn't even be matam himself to his father and his mother. Explains the Chassan Sofer. One of the things that a person is supposed to think is ma'ayim basa. From who? Where'd you come from? That's la'aviv li'ima. You don't think about that either. What do we tell you? What should you think? Remember that you're crowned. You're special. And that's the mechanism that you should fight the Yetzer Hara with. When you realize who you are and what you were chosen to do, then you'll stay away from doing the averis that the Yetzer Hara convinces you. It's a whole different way, a different approach. We don't want you to take the approach of, oh, you're going to die. No. Realize what you were chosen for. Appreciate it. The Chassam Sofer's grandfather, the Chassam Sofer, also said this Yisoid, and he fataitched it, he put it back into the Pasuk Boif and Drush. The Pasuk says that a Kohen doesn't go to a funeral, and then it says, Lo yikchu karcha b'roitza. Ufas konam lo yigalech, which means they don't rip the hair of their head, and they don't shave off their beards, and on their flesh, ubibsaram, they shouldn't do scratches. They shouldn't cut themselves. The question, first of all, is, I mean, it's not only a kohen, no one's allowed to do this. So the Gemara speaks about it. Chassam Sofer has a very nice pshat somewhere else in the drushes. He says that only a kohen would take the death of someone else that serious. A regular Yisrael doesn't care that much. Only a kohen who's really an Oyv Yisrael and loves Klal Yisrael, to him it would move him so much, the death of another person, to the point that he would want to cut himself and hurt himself. So that's why it was said specifically to the kohen. Was said specifically to the kohen because it's more common for the kohen. It makes more sense for the kohen to want to do it. Most people, when they go to the funeral, they're thinking already how they're going to go home and eat lunch. The kohen, when he goes to the funeral, he took it serious because now he's not allowed to go to the funeral, and he's also not allowed to do these acts of avos. But then the Chassam Sofer, like I said, Alat Torah gives a different, and he says a different pshat, a pirush in the pasuk, and he says al pidrus. They shouldn't cut Beroisham. What's Beroisham? Beroisham means where they started from. Yayin Basam. Pas Konam. What does Pas means? The end. Lo Natahoylech. Where's your end? Vishatarima Vaseleya, that you're made from Zarima. That's Lo Yisitu Vibsaram, and in their flesh. Lo Yisitu Saratas. Don't dig into your flesh that you'll become worms. Don't think all this. What should you think? They should think, yeah, but you're right. I don't think about death. And what should I? Kedoshim, you're special. Kedoshim, you're special. You're holy. You were chosen. You're lucky. It's a schus. Understand and appreciate, and you won't do any averus. So we see the same thread, the grandfather and the grandson and all the other mefarshim as well. Many speak about the point. Elevation. We elevate. So this is a lesson. We want our children to be B'nai Torah. We want them to be different. We're giving them a life of restriction. It's not easy, you know. When everyone is having fun, we tell them, sit down to learn Torah. When everyone is making money, we tell them, hopefully one day you'll be a Ben Torah, a Tzaddik, a Yirei Shemayim. He looks at it, wow, that's a restrictive life. What are you doing? And the answer is, if the father gives the flavor that it's a special, it's a schus, it's an honor, it's a privilege, then at a chanami, he'll be able to do it. It's very important to make it sound to the child that he's lucky to be a Ben Torah. Ashreinu Matoiv Chalkeinu. And it's not just talk, you have to really feel that. I once said over to Rav Shach, I asked Rav Shach a question, how does one do to be mashpia, that to give over that others should want to learn Torah? How is it, what is the secret of success in that? So Rav Shach said, if you take a look, it says clearly, V'harev na, Hashem alikenu is divrei sarascha b'finu, or b'fiyah is amcha. It has to be sweet. And then, v'ni anachnu v'tzatzoenu v'tzatzam. Clearly. And then our children will be, and our grandchildren. If it's sweet by you, then the grandchildren will pick up on it. The children and grandchildren will pick up on it. Which means if you lead by example on how lucky and how delicious it is, and how matoy chalkeinu, manoyim geir aleinu, then the children will follow. But if in the father that they notice it's difficult, if in the father they notice that it's not, It's something which is neither zak ma'ib lebanish. You do it, but it's not easy. Not going to work. Shiva Zatzal, and we'll talk about it a little bit later more about this point. Shiva Ramosha Zatzal said that in America, a lot of people had a hard time with the Shabbos. Hard time. And years later, their children, a lot of them went off the derech. Lost a lot of people from it. And the reason is because they learned in the home, Shver, it's difficult the Shabbos. We're losing our jobs. Shver. So when the child picks up from the father that it's difficult, psychologically he lives, I'm deprived, and he won't want to do it. If the father lives, Ashreinu Matoyev Chalkeinu, Anoyim Gerolainu, then the children pick it up with happiness. They're happy to continue. So the first point, show the child Ashreinu, that he's privileged, that he was chosen to learn and to daven and to be a frum erel chayid and a bentayra. The second point, I believe, is simcha. In order for a child to want, the father has to show. Avoidah means happiness. It's a happy thing, not a sad thing. Like I just told you from the Reshiva Zatzal, that if the father makes it like, oy, it's difficult, and where did I learn this from? What is the reason why we restrict the kohen from going to a funeral? So I told you over from the Kotzka that says that the kohen gadol has to learn that he's not belonging to a family. Everyone, all of Klal Yisrael now is his family, and therefore we don't come and say, even your sister, your brother, that's not your family. All of Klal Yisrael is your family. But that only explains the Kohen Gadol. What about the Kohen Hedyot? Why does the Kohen Hedyot not go to the funeral? So you could come and say, Kedusha, Tumah, right? He becomes Tameh, he has to do Avodah Beis HaMikdash, right? In Chassidus Sfarim, they talk a lot about the ideal, an idea of, that if he goes to a funeral, he'll be Batzvus. Avodah needs simcha. There's a contrast between avoida and levaya. It doesn't work. And so, we tell the kohen, you don't have to do with misa. You stay away from all this. You need to be tamid b'simcha, constantly happy, upbeat, ecstatic. And this is really what we were bringing out, and I think it's point number two. You have to give a feeling of not only privilege, but that simcha. Upbeat, happy. The atmosphere around the child has to be one of simcha. Simcha to do a mitzvah. Simcha to learn Torah. And the child picks up on that. And the child is happy then to learn. Because if avoidon, if you want him to give his whole full self to learning and davening, if it's not besimcha, it's not going to work. It doesn't work. So the lesson two in chinuch would be simcha. Lesson one, privilege. Lesson two, simcha. What's lesson three? Lesson three is not just preaching. It's to teach by example. If you preach while you don't show it as an example, it's not going to work. Chavetz Chaim, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, told us that that's the reason why Pesach night, Chayiv Adam, Lirois, Esatzmik, Ilu, Yatzim, Mitzrayim. Why is it that important that a person should really feel as if he left Mitzrayim? Why is that? I thank Abish for taking us out of Mitzrayim. I have to feel as if I'm leaving Mitzrayim. Says the Chavetz Chaim something unique. You want to teach him Munah. You want that the child should feel what it means to be a Yoytzim in Mitzrayim. It's important that you give it over first, that you feel it yourself to the extent as if you yourself left. You teach by example, not by talking. I can tell my kid from today till tomorrow, I left Mitzrayim. If you yourself don't feel like you left Mitzrayim, You yourself don't portray that it's deep. It's something that you yourself believe in. As if it happened to you, then it's not going to be able to be taught to the next generation. Chafetz Chaim used to say, that's the pshat, v'shinanta ulmanecha v'dibarta bam. You want to teach the children Torah? First v'dibarta bam. You yourself have to talk about it. First you v'dibarta. If you talk in learning, then the children will... You tell the kid, you learn while you... while the father, I'm busy. Pa, you want me to learn? Ta, Abba, you want me to learn? So you also have to learn. The only way to do it is to teach by example. And where did I learn this? I learned this from the first Rashi. It says in the Pasuk, Emar el ha-kehanim b'nei aharon v'amar ta'aleya. So it's a double lashon. Emar, say to the kehanim v'amar ta'aleya. It's two. Why the repetition? Says Rashi. Lahazir gdoilim alaktanim. That the elders are responsible to teach the young. Is that chinuch? Is that the mitzvah of chinuch? First of all, the mitzvah of chinuch probably is only drabanan. And if there's a general mitzvah of chinuch by everyone, then why do I need a special pasuk by the kohen? Why do I need a special limud, a pasuk, lahazir gdoilim alaktanim? There's a mitzvah of chinuch anyway. A father must make sure that his child does what he has to do. Notice, Rabbi Yisai, it doesn't say lahazir that the avos should teach the banim. That's not what it says. It says lahazir agdoilim alaktanim. So what do we mean? Do we mean the father? Maybe we don't even mean the father. Maybe we mean something completely different. And I'd like to make another diuk, Rabbi Yisai. If you mean that the father should teach the children, or the father, the elder should teach the young, so it should have said, Lahazir, Shagadoilim Yasiru Aktanim. What do you mean, Lahazir? Lahazir means to teach the Gedoilim. Lahazir means that we should make sure that the Gedoilim are told, the elders are told, and warned, and they're Alaktanim, that they should give it over to the children. Just say, Lahazir, that we should come and tell that the Gedoilim should be Masir Maktanim. That's not what the words mean. Lahazir Gedoilim Maktanim means, and I think this is really beautiful pshat in the Rashi, that the elders should do it in a way that the Ketanim will learn from them. It is Lahazir Akdoilim. We're not telling the Gedoilim Lahazir Akdoilim. That's not what the mitzvah is. We're not telling the Gedoilim that they should talk to the Akdoilim, but it's the way the Gedoilim should do it, Lahazir, to tell them how they should do it in a way that it should be emored to the next generation, that the children should learn from them. By example. Lesson number three in Chinuch Rabbeisa is you want your child to do above what regular children do. You want them to be B'nai Torah. You want them to daven properly. There's only one way to do it. And that is Lahazir Agdoilim, that the Gedoilim should do it. That they should be careful. Lahazir, that they should be careful. In a way, Alaktanim, that it is taught, it is mushpa to the next generation, to the Ketanim. My Rebbe Rav Pam once told me something very, it's beautiful, Pshat Rashi, huh? Lahazir Agdoilim, that the Gedoilim should be Musarim Bezeh, Be'ofen, she's a Gamal Ketanim. That's Emor, speak to the Gedoilim that they should do it, that Vamar Talayim, that should go to the next generation. My Rebbe Rav Pam told me once a nice, I've said it here in the past, that there was once a child in the school that got a smack and was taken to the principal. Why? The Rebbe asked, what's more important than Torah? What takes preference? Is there anything that takes kadima, preference, over Torah? So everybody said, no, Torah, everything, but Torah is the most important thing. One child raised his hand and said he knows chult, that the chult on Shabbos is more important than the Torah. The Sfaradim Dafna, the Dafna, what he called the Oshalor, Shabbos Osavor, that the Osavor, you hear, is more important than the Torah. The Rebbe smacked up the kid. He thought he was playing around with him. He sent him to the principal. The principal asked him, how could you say a thing like this? He said, what do you want from me? It's not my fault. Every Shabbos, I come to the Shabbos table and I tell my father that I have a Dvar Torah for my Rebbe from school and I want to say it over. And you know what my father tells me? Not yet. First comes the chult. First we eat the osavo. First we eat the chult. So I see that the chult comes before the Torah. What do you want from me? I see that the chult comes before the Torah. What do you want from me? Rav Pam told me, Pam Zachary Lavrach told me, I don't know about the smack, he said. You know, Rav Pam would never hit anybody. I was a tzaddik. He was such a soft person. About the smack, I don't know. But there's a lot of Das Torah in the story. At the time where you should sit at a Shabbos table. Yeah. At the time where you should sit at a Shabbos table. Best times, called in English, we call it family quality time. You can teach so much to a child. Yeah. What happens? We teach him that the chant is more important than the Torah. So what do you expect? This is Lahazig Gedolim Al-Tan. They pick up very quickly. Nuance. Did the father say the chant is more important than the Torah? No. But that's really what he was saying, right? If he wasn't able to hold out 1 minute, not eating the dafna, the osam, or whatever it's called, right? Because he had to eat that and then push off the Dvar Torah. So that's what you're teaching your child. The child's going to come to school learning that this is more important than this. This, Rabbi Isai, is the lesson of Lahazi Gedoilim al Ketanim. You want the Ketanim to do it, the Gedoilim have to do it first. That's what you learn from over here. The Gedoilim have to do it first. And when they do it and how they do it, that's how it's going to be. Mashpia on the next generation. It doesn't take much. All it takes is a wink. Attitude. Attitude comes from simple, subtle responses from a parent. Doesn't need a big drasha. To ruin a chashivus for b'nei Torah. You know, example, you sit at a table and the father and the child brings up this rav, this gadol, this one said, and you make like a little nuance. You just killed your kid away. He just learned, this b'nei Torah, reshivas, gedolim, Torah. Nuance. Little things. Chashivus. A person has to show and teach by example. And this I call the three basic principles of success in chinuch. The first thing is elevate. Instead of knocking him down, instead of telling him, take a look, yom amisa, death, don't be scared, nothing. Realize how privileged you are to be a ben Torah. You know, Rabbi Yisai, Kayin doesn't have to be only Kayin. And that's what I started the parasha with. These lessons of chinuch is anybody. Klal Yisrael is atem tiyulim amleches kayanim v'goy kadosh. It's everybody. The Rambam discusses at the end of Hilchos Rayim that it's not only Shevet Levi. Anyone who puts himself in a corner, so to speak, to learn and to daven and cuts himself away from the silly craziness of the world is called a kayin. The lessons of chinuch that we have here by Kayin apply to anybody, in any home where you want your child to be special, to grow up different. A ben Torah, a kaddish, a holy child, a holy Jew. The way to do it is elevate the tafkid. Elevate. Look how lucky you are to do this. Beis, it has to be besimcha. A lot of happiness. A lot of happiness. And third of all, it has to be by example. Those are the three cardinal rules of chinuch. Okay. I'd like to talk about two other topics in the parasha. I'd like to speak about what it means, chesed, the importance of chesed. You know, in the Mayadim Rabbeisa, all about the Yom Tovim and the Karbonis, beautiful, right? Moed. We know Moed is what? Mekadosh Yisrael, Vazmanim. Moed is Kedusha. Kedusha Samoed, right? Moed is called Mikray Kodesh, to the point that we have special Karbonis. Moed, right? Beautiful. Hagiga, Karbonis. Alil Regel, you went to the Beis Hamikdash. In the middle of the parsha of the Mayadim, we have Leket, Shikha, and Peah. And they all ask, and first of all discuss, how did Leket, Shikha, and Peah, Mitzvahs, Matlas, Aniyim, come in the middle of the Mayadim? Many different terutzim are said. I believe the most simple pshat that I hold is Emes Lamita. I think I was Zeich Baruch Hashem, Reza Hashem Yisbarach, to say over, I think I said it years ago, I'd like to say it again. There's a lesson to be learned, that what is Mayid? Mayid is about Kedusha, Mekadesh. Mayid is about Karbonis. We learned all the Karbonis. There's no such thing as Mayid and Karbonis of Mayid if it's not about Matnas Aniyim. If you didn't give him out. And where did I learn this from? If you didn't take care of the ani, it's all nothing. The Rambam. Rambam says clearly in Perik Vav of Hilchas Yantiv, Af al pi, Shachilo Ushtia. Here, I'm sorry. Yud Ches. He talks about Simchas HaYantiv, Ketanim, what they should get candies, women should get clothing, men should eat meat and wine. Now, Ukeshu Eichel, says the Rambam. Perik Vav, Alachi Yitches, Kshu Eichel Vashayse Chayiv. Lahachel Ager, Yochayiv. You hear the Lashon? It's not a good advice. It's a Chiyuv. To feed the Ger, the Yasim Almana. Im Shar Ha'aniyim Lam Lolim. With all the other rest of the broken, poor people. Avmi Shanoil Dalsas Chatzere. If someone locks his door. The Eichel Vashayse. Who ubarnam ishve ainam machel mashkalaniim ulamari nefesh ainzu simcha mitzvah. That's not called simchas mitzvah, ela simchas kreisai. Valelu nemar, and on this it says zivcheyem kilechem ainim lehem kaleichel vitamu. I don't need your karbonis. This is tummy karbonis. You hear? So I think the parsha of Leket, Shikha, Peah come in the middle of the Mayadim. A person can be Ramesh, daven all day on Yontif. And a person can bring all the best Karbonis, it's all nothing. If it's not Leket, Shikha, and Peah. You know, Rabbi Yisai, I think always that we don't have an understanding of what it means and how important it is in the Torah, bein adam lechaver, to care about another person. I don't think we have the depth, the deep understanding that the Torah requires of us, and as well as what the Gedolim in previous generations had in this area. We think it's a nice thing. We think if a person does chesed, you know, he's a tzaddik. I'm going to discuss with you that maybe this is the most important thing in the Torah. And I don't want to say it as a final thing because it's a big discussion. But I want to show you what I understood this Shabbos, something interesting. In Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Yud Zayin, Mishnah says, Shloisha Ksarim Heim. There's three crowns. There's Kesa Torah, Kesa Kahuna, and Kesa Malchus. The Kesa Shem Tov Oil Al Kulam. The Kesa Shem Tov is even greater, it's even bigger. It's even more than the other ones. What is Kesa Shem Tov? How does one achieve? How does one earn Kesa Shem Tov? The Rambam learns that it comes from the Torah. If a person has Kesa Torah, The Torah makes it that he should have Keser Shem Tov. If you look at the Mishnah and Avos Perek Vav, that's one of the things about someone who learns Torah Lishma. He gets a good name, people like him. So the Rambam and the Pirush Mishnayos learns the Keser Shem Tov comes from Keser Torah. You look at Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah learns from learning and Kiyum HaMitzvos. That's how Rabbeinu Yonah brings the Keser Shem Tov. It's a result. It's a result. It feeds off from the person who keeps the Torah and the mitzvahs. What Torah? What mitzvahs? All of them, maybe. You're a Shemayim, maybe because the person says you're a Shemayim, he has a Keser Shem Tov. A lot of Rishonim learn like that. I think the Nefesh HaChaim, the Ruach HaChaim, Reb Chaim Volozhiner learns that if a person has Yirah Shemayim, he has Keser Shem Tov. I saw two Chofetz Chaims in Abbas Chesed. One Chofetz Chaim, he says like this, if a person has good traits, and he does acts of kindness, he has a tremendous thing going for him. And that is that people want to learn from him. People like him. People look at him and go, you know, I want to be like that person. Comes out, he's a Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. A Mekadesh Shem Shemayim, it comes out that he will have Olam Haba. Val Zen Emar, says the Chofetz Chaim in Avos Chesed. On this it says, Keser Shem Tov Olam Kulan. The implication is that the person who does Maisim Tovim, which means he acts kindness, that's what gives a Keser Shem Tov. I saw another piece of Chofetz Chaim further, I think in Perek Yutes, a little bit further down in Avos Chesed. He says there's an interesting Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara says, Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet Hey Vav, that they darshin a drosha that in the, even for the times of Yeshua ben Nun, no one said this. A Rebbe from children came to the Beis Medrash, and he said, Aleph Bina Gimel Dalet. The first thing a person should know is to be Goymul Dalim, and if that, then the Eibishter will give you Ches, Tes, Ches is Chain, Tes, Yud, Yakar, Oymul Mabo. To the point that if a person is Goymul Dalim, that he takes care of the poor, Goymul means gives money to the poor, Aleph Beis, Gimel Dalim, right? Aleph Bina, the first thing you have to know, Aleph Bina to know, Goymul Dalim. Gimel Dalet, and then you'll get everything to the point you'll get even Ksarim Loilam Abba. That's the words of the Gemara. Says the Chofetz Chaim, that's what it means over here. Keser Shem Tov Oilal Kulan. So again, I learned from here that the Chofetz Chaim understood when it says Keser Shem Tov, it means doing acts of kindness, running after people to help them. And this is Kaisa, where does this Keser? In Olam Haba. And I was thinking to myself, is there such a thing as Keser Malchus in Olam Haba? I don't know. Is there such a thing as Keser Kahuna in Olam Haba? You know? But Keser Shem Tov might be a Keser that goes to Olam. And that's maybe what it means, Keser Ku Oilal Kulana. It goes higher than the rest of them. Maybe the Keser of Shem Tov is in Olam Haba. It stays with you. You see a man in Olam Haba with a crown, ooh, he must have Shem Tov. And where does the Shem Tov come from? Because he did acts of kindness. So it comes out that acts of kindness is so important. Now let me show you something interesting. You know, one of the Mishnayos that we have in the Pirkei Avos and Perek Dalet talks about La'olam yakdim adam, a person should be makdim shalom l'chol adam. It's one of the Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos. Makdim shalom l'chol adam. And he says hello to everybody. Now the Gemara, Rashi brings it down. That's even a guy. Even a guy. You should say hello to him. Now what does the word makdim mean? What does the word makdim mean? It means I say hello to him? No. Makdim means I say hello before he even says hello to me. The word makdim, makdim shalom, means that him before me. How do I know this? The Gemara in Yud Zayin and Bracha says, Arem Nechunya ben Akana. No one ever said hello to him first. He always got the first hello. And this was a big thing. So I had a question, what's the big deal? I mean, what's the difference if you say first, I say hello to you. It's such a big deal who said it first. I beat you to the punch. So I had a discussion with my Rebbe Rav Palm about this once. I want to tell you what I discussed with him, you know? I don't understand. I'll show you how far this goes. In Perik Vav, Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma says a story. I was once walking, and somebody bumped into me, and he gave me a shalom. He said hello to me, and I returned him shalom. I returned the hello. And then this person came and said to me, I want you to come and live with us. He says, I'm not going to do that, even if you pay me all the money in the world. I come from a city of all Talmidei Chacham. Very strange, the beginning of the story. He said hello to me, I said hello to him. I mean, who cares? When you say a story, you have to say all the details. I said hello, he said hello. Just say you met a person and he asked you to come to visit and live in a city. You don't have to cook about the... And he was sitting and I was standing. What's the... It's irrelevant. He said hello to me and I said hello to him. Not so irrelevant. The Medrash Shmuel comes and asks a great question. He says, I don't understand. Why is it that he said hello first? How come he didn't keep the Mishnah that says you should say hello first? Yeah? How come, says the Medrash Shmuel, don't understand? So the Medrash Shmuel answers, he didn't know if he was a Yid or a guy. He might have been a guy. So misafek, he waited for the other guy. That's what the Medrash Shmuel says.
I didn't know if how would that determine whether he knew he was a Yid either.
No, so therefore he didn't say hello to him first. He waited for, then when the guy said shalom to him, he started talking to him.
I said shalom, he knew he was a Yid.
He was a Yid, right? The word shalom. Question. Didn't we just learn that you're supposed to be makdim shalom even to a guy? Rashi? That's what Rashi says. Makdim Mishloim, even to a guy. Rashi says it on that Mishnah clearly. So we wanted to say Pshat. Many years ago I said Pshat. Could be like this. To be Makdim Shalom, Rashi Sheet is that Lagai. Lamaisa, the Rambam doesn't bring this. Rambam brings that a Talmud Chacham should be Makdim Shalom to everybody. He doesn't speak about a guy. The Rambam in Hilchas Avodah Zarah says, Shalom Bishloim, you ask in the Shalom, in the peace of a guy, but they dark your Shalom, in order to have peace with the guy. He doesn't say you should do it first, though. You could ask from, you could say Shalom Aleichem to him. Maybe the Rambam didn't hold that by a guy, you have to be the first one. You definitely have to say hello, and you'll definitely need a heter to say hello, but you might not have to be the first one. Maybe. But Rashi is a good question. From Rashi's mashma, that even a guy you should be first. So what do you do with that Mishnah? So I'll tell you what I said, Pshat. I once saw a beautiful story from a Moshe Leib Sassava. He was from the big Rebbes, from the Tzaddikim, like we have in the Litter Shevelt, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the Hasidic Shevelt has Rabbi Leib Sassava. That type of a Musar and Chesed and Avos Yisrael, that type of a person. So it's brought that his avoda, one of the things he was very makbid, very careful about, was this. That no one should ever say hello to him first. He should be the first one to say hello. Yeah? So the story over there in the Sefer, I think it's called Ein Yosef, brings down a story that one time a guy in the shul wanted to see if he could play like a trick on Rabbi Moshe Leib Sassava, and he'll go and run over to him and be the first one to say hello. He'll beat him to the punch. The guy in the shul wanted to see if he could do this. So he hid from the behind, and he started running towards Rabbi Moshe Leib Sassava to scream, hello! And like this, you see? It happened. He got the first hello, not Rabbi Moshe Leib Sassava. What happened? Some father whose son was named Moshe Leib, gave a scream at that moment, Moshe Leib! Gave a scream to his son, had nothing to do with it. Moshe Leib turned around, thinking it was And he sees this guy running towards him. She says, Shalom Aleichem. That's it. You hear? And he said it was Min HaShemayim, the Eibishter was helping him, that he shouldn't be, go against this Chazal that he was mocked. Since he was always so careful about it, I went to my Rebbe. I don't understand. What's the big deal? What's if you say hello first, I say hello first? Who cares? Who cares? It's a good question, right? It's a big deal. Who cares? What's the big deal? He's saying hello anyway. The guy's playing a game with me. What's the big deal, right? Okay. Now, I want to tell you even more. In Tenuas HaMusar, it's brought down. Tenuas HaMusar.
Tenuas, what's that?
It's a very nice sefer. It brings out all from the daily HaMusar, all their different actions and Musar, you know, their behavioral things about Musar. Beautiful, very beautiful sefer. So Tenuas HaMusar is brought down that the Altar from Slabotka Zechatzadi Vikodosh Lavrocha was very makbid also on this thing, you know, of saying hello to everybody. He would stand by the window looking for people to say hello to them. Like Avraham Avinu looked for people to bring into his house, he would look by his window, I need to say hello to somebody. So they say that when he would walk in the streets of Slabotka, many a time you would hear him saying hello to people who weren't even there. There was nobody there. He would walk around and go, morning, morning. No, so the Talmidim asked, but Rebbe, there's nobody here. So he says, what do you mean? The Rav of Slabotka lives in the house over here. Yeah, but he's not here. I mean, well, he has to be in front of me. I could give him a bracha even if he's not in front of me. I'm bringing him a bracha. He should have a good morning. So he would walk around giving people brachas in their houses, even though they weren't face to face with him. I asked her, Pam, I said, don't you think it's like a little exaggerated? Don't you think this is like, you have to start saying hello to people that aren't even there? Where?
It's a little risky.
Risky, right? Who knows if someone looks at it, you lock them up, right? Pam answered me, he says, because we're so far from understanding Kavod HaBriyos and how much one loves and should love another person, we don't realize. You're right. For us, it looks bizarre. When you love, and you have Kavod HaBriyos, it's different. And I want you to know that I thought about a lot what the Reshiva told me, and I thought of a beautiful raya. You know, the end of the mission in Avos in Brachas, the last mission in Brachas, actually the last part of the last mission in Brachas, in the last Perik, it says that Hiskinu, Chacham, Bechacham, it made a takana. And when you say hello to somebody, you do it b'shem Hashem. You don't say shalom, you say shalom in the name of Hashem. Says the Mishnah, but isn't that a wrong thing to do? To use the name of Hashem to say hello to somebody? Eis lasis l'Hashem, hefei. It's so important, you hear? That we say you should even undo what the lasis l'Hashem, hefei terusachach. Go against what the halacha is. Use the name of Hashem for nothing. For
the,
what?
The word shalom is the name of Hashem. Right?
And on top of that, it says you say shalom b'shem Hashem, like Bayez. We learn it from Bayez because my Bayez said Hashem imchem hakaitzum. Hashem should be with you. So we learn shalom b'shem Hashem. You use the word, the name. You actually say Hashem's name. Says Rashi, I am mezalzel. No, because that's what Abish would want. To be mezalzel in him, mipnei kavod HaBriyos. That's what Rashi says. To make cheap, to act in a way that's cheapening,
minimizing.
Why else kavod HaBriyos? L'kayim the pasuk bakesh shalom v'ratfei. That you have to run to do. You have to search out to do shalom. So what do I learn from here? That makdim. Makdim means I have to run to do it. Maybe I'll have an opportunity. Bake, search it, look at it. No, don't wait for the opportunity to come to you. Another one say, you know what? He'll say hello to me, I'll say hello to him. No. Bake, we have to search. This Rabbi Sai is called Keser Shem Taif. And this is maybe Oilal Kulana. It's Goimul Dalim. It says, what's the word Goimul Dalim? The Gemara says that the Dalit, is he runs. The Dalet doesn't have a foot. It has 1 foot, 2 feet, right? The Gimel has 2 feet. The Dalet has 1 foot. So the Gimel means that he runs, says the Gemara. He runs with 2 feet. It's not enough just to do what? To do the Chesed. It's to run to do the Chesed. And this is Kesher Shem type, and this is Oilal Kulana. We're very far, Rabbi Yisai. Very, 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 very far from what it's supposed to look like and what we're supposed to understand, Al Pi HaTaira, for what the Torah wants us to understand, Bein Adam L'Chaver. Very, very far. Okay, I'd like to give a third lesson, if you don't mind, 1 more minute, 2 more minutes.
I got no more room for
that. Okay, I can't.
Sorry, kidding.
One more lesson. From the Parsha, Nageh to Shavuos. What is the noise? Okay, one more lesson from the Parsha. Nageh to Shavuos. Shavuos is around the corner. How do we prepare ourselves for Shavuos? Now, the truth is, Sfiras Omer was meant to prepare for Shavuos. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Ran, in the end of Pesachim, the Ran says that even though there was no Karban Omer in the Midbar, they still counted Sfiras Omer, because they counted it to Shavuos, to Kabbalah Satayra. What about Sfiras Omer is Achana to Kabbalah Satayra? So you look at the Maral explains that there's 48 Kinyani Atayra, and there's 49 days. So those 48 days, you do one Kinyan a day. 49. You just said there's 48 Kinyani Atayra. So the Chassidus Shevel from the Tzfas Emes, they bring that you should repeat. The 49th day is Chazara on all 48. You have to repeat. You have to work one day to repeat everything Chazara, to work on it. Mishnas Rabbaran, the Rishiva Zatzal, Rabbaran said that there's one day that you have all of it. That's a separate day, to have them all of them in unity. And we spoke about this in the past years, unity in the Midas. There's one thing to have a separate Midas, but then to have them all together, the Shleimus, okay. I saw the B'nai Yisachar, Mayri Dikidahar. B'nai Yisachar says that part of the Sfira, and I want to say more on my own, because he really comes from a different angle, and there's not enough time to go through the whole B'nai Yisachar, but basically it's the same Yisoid. You know what the preparation in the Sfira Sa'omer is? The fact that I count towards, I look forward to it. When a person gets married, he counts down the days. That itself is the preparation. Where did I learn this from? Yeshua's nar liyomish mitaycha oil. Yeshua stood in preparation. What was the preparation? Liyomish, that he didn't let go for a moment. Constantly looking forward for the moment that it's going to come. Anticipation. That's the word I'd like to use. Yeshua stood by the par, not to miss a second. Anticipation. That's called Kabbalah Satayra. And that's why Yeshua's Kibbal Tayra. He was the one who was the Makabal Tayra from Moshe Rabbeinu. Vahu Nar. He might have not been the biggest. The Rishonim say he wasn't the biggest of the Talmidim. But he was the one who was narrowly, almost with anticipation. Sfiras Omer, I believe, is anticipated. With this, I understand why you can't miss even one day. And it has to be Tmimais. Tmimais Tiena. It should be Tmimais. What does it mean, Tmimais? Because anticipation means not to be Mesiach Dasra. When you anticipate something and long for it, you don't take it out of your mind. No one forgets for a second that he's getting married in a week. It doesn't work that way. And if it is, it's a sign he's not really happily getting married. The fact that a person anticipates a good thing to come, he thinks about it all the time. And I want to show you an interesting thing. The Rebbe Akiva Eiger speaks about that if someone counted Sfiras Omer in writing. Writing? Why would someone count? Well, you have to write down today's... The custom was, Rabbi Yisai, that on a letter, when someone would write a letter, he would write the date, the Sfira. Hayoim, today, instead of writing it's 5 in Iyar, they would write the 20th of Sfira. That's what Rabbi Akiva Eiger means. If someone wrote the Sfira, is it called like he's counting? I saw from Remendel Rimna, the reason for this is not to be Mesiach Das from Sfira Sayyim. Not to take your mind constantly. I think that's what it means. Tmimais tiyena. Not even the counting. It should be by you, Tiena. I think the Bnei Soska says is this Nakuda. Tiena, it should be by you, Tmimus. Why? I think, I believe, based anticipation. The more anticipation and the more cheshik, that's Kabbalah Satayra. My proof to this is, if you look at the beginning of the parasha of Kabbalah Satayra, the Rabbi Hashem had a whole different plan for Kabbalah Satayra. It would be that Moshe Rabbeinu would come and bring them the Torah. That was it. So when Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to Klal Yisrael, is that what they wanted? No. What did they want? Ritzeinu Liras is Malkeinu. We want to see Hashem directly. So Rabbi Hashem says, Rashi brings it down. If so, that's what they want. Okay, then we have a whole new plan for Kabbalah Satayra. We'll go and we'll do it this way. Says Rabbi Yeruchim, what do we see from here? We see from here that the way they want it, that's how Kabbalah Satayra was. I said the same thing over here too. The hachana to Kabbalah Satayra is, I want. How much I long for it. How much I look forward to it. And that is Sfiras Oimer, looking forward. I look forward to it. And that becomes the side of what the Kabbalah Satayra is. This is in this week's parasha where it says, "Usfartu nuchem imachus haShabbos, sheva Shabbosos, tmimos tiyan." Okay, we'll stop over here. And I wish you all a wonderful and beautiful Shavuos. Hatzlach mitzvah. Next week we'll continue, but this is the lesson for this week's parasha.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.